Our study this morning is out of Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 16, God's condemnation of moral man. The theme of the epistle to the Romans is that God's righteousness is available to man by faith from start to finish. This belief is often not accepted in Christendom. Some claim that one must have faith plus works to be justified. Others say that though we're justified by faith, we cannot righteously live a godly life by faith. In establishing the fact that all have sinned and are helplessly lost, and after demonstrating the condemnation of pagan man in Romans 1, 18 to 32, Paul showed how the moral man is also condemned in Romans chapter 2, 1 to 16. See what the Apostle Paul is doing? He's working to demonstrate how every single human being, regardless of his background, regardless of his deeds or lack of deeds, stands completely condemned before God. That's the whole point. He's trying to get everybody locked up in the prison house with the word sin over it, so that when he opens the door, and the door is Christ, he lets the door out, and the people can come by Christ, they come out of that. But it's like Billy Sunday said, you have to get a man lost before you get him saved. In other words, he has to see his lost condition, how undone he is. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing in three chapters here in Romans. So the first chapters, last part of 1, all of 2, and then first part of chapter 3. So we view the passage for our insight and our application. Want to look to the Lord in prayer this morning, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you for the book of Romans. We thank you for all of the word of God and for your servant, the Apostle Paul, who so very carefully and clearly laid out the roadmap of how a man starts off fit for hell and how you get him not only fit for heaven, but make him a servant of the Lord, all in the book of Romans. We ask for wisdom to understand this passage this morning, utilizing the ministries of the Spirit of God to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Romans chapter 2, 1 through 16. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things that are contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Okay, God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men because they are suppressing, katekonton, holding down the truth in unrighteousness, according to Romans 1:18. Incidentally, Romans 1:18 opens up and introduces not only the pagan man, also the moral man, and then goes on to the religious man and how God condemns all of them. But all groups of men, pagan man, moral man, and religious man, are actually suppressing truth. They do it in different ways, but they're suppressing the truth. Now, it's interesting that God's wrath is against man's sin. not against man himself at this time, due to the gracious work of Christ on the cross. This marvelous verse is 2 Corinthians 5:19 that says, God was in Christ, that's on the cross, not imputing their trespasses unto the world. In other words, God is not holding against man himself all the sins that he's done, because Christ has actually opened the door. He's paid for the sins on the cross. There's one sin that sends man to hell, and that's the rejection of the antidote to sin. That's the rejection of Jesus Christ. So, you know, once heard Billy Graham, he was ministering, and he said, you know, you might be listening to me on a television in a bar. You may actually be drunk in the bar. You can still accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he's absolutely right, because God is not holding alcoholism or drunkenness against the person. What he's holding against the person is one sin. What are you going to do with Christ? And if they accept Christ as their Savior, even if they're dead drunk, and that's happened, then people are saved, marvelously saved. So that's a wonderful thing. God is angry at man's sin. He's not. He doesn't have the wrath against the man himself because of the wonderful work of the cross. Now, one might agree that pagan man suppresses the truth about God that is revealed in creation, but that many morally upright people in cultured realms of the world are not condemned by God. I've heard this argument many times. I've had even people in our church say, Pastor, I know people who go to churches who are the most upstanding citizens you can think of. They've been volunteer firemen for 30 years. They give to the poor. If there's a famine in Ethiopia, they're digging down and they're sending money to people in Ethiopia. How in the world can they be condemned by God? Well, Paul is condemning even moral men. So Paul takes issue with that claim, and he reveals how even moral men stand condemned before God in Romans 2, 1-16. Now, there are differences of frequency, extent, and degree that every human being has in his turning away from God and his committing of sins. Any moral person who views a pagan as standing eternally condemned before God only inexcusably condemns himself, for though he is more cultured, his own sin is still sin, and it makes it unacceptable before God. Let me give you an example. A moral man might not carve an idol and worship it, but many moral men make evolution a god, claiming that evolution is the creative force of the universe in place of the creator God of the Bible. It's the same thing. You're making creation itself an idol. You might not be carving it. You might not be forming or making out of metal, but once you start worshiping the creation and saying that evolutionary forces within it, in fact, Carl Sagan actually, I believe, actually worshiped the process of evolution itself. And he says, we're all just stardust. That's what he said. Well, that's actually sin. It's the same sin as the pagan man. The pagan man is a little more overt with his sin, maybe less cultured, but it's still sin. It's still same sin. And when we get into the application, I got an application about 5 or 6 sins where we're going to show how moral man, he has more of a cultured way of expressing his sin, but it's the same sin. Now, God judges according to the standard of absolute truth. So if a moral person judges a pagan man as being condemned by God, he cannot escape the judgment of God himself. Moral man must realize that he's just as needy as pagan man of the grace of God that leads him to repent instead of continuing in his wicked ways, building up the wrath of God against his own sin. In the end, God will judge all men by their deeds, be they pagan or moral. Also, there's no favoritism with Almighty God. As many as have sinned apart from law, such as pagan man, will perish without the law, based on their accountability before God from what they observed about God in creation. And as many as have sinned in the law of God will be judged by it. See, a pagan man, he might not have a knowledge of the law of God and everything, but a pagan man sees the creation and the creative order out there, and he knows good and well that some entity created. Like I've used an illustration, there was an African man many years ago who was carving an idol. This is in either Ethiopia or Nigeria, I forget which one. And he stopped and he said, this is ludicrous on my part. I'm getting ready to worship something that I'm carving. I need to worship what carved me. That was his way of thinking. In other words, I need to worship the one who made me instead of me worshiping something that I'm making. And then he had a dream after that. I told him about a white man showing up under a mango tree with a black book, white pages in it, and black letters on it. And in the book, it would tell him how to find out the person or the being who carved him. Many years later, a Pocket Testament League missionary showed up with Gospels of John. And of course, the third verse of John chapter 1 says, all things are made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the man realized, hey, this is the God that I was talking about. And later on, he found out that that God in the same chapter is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So he believed in Christ and was saved. So God will get to the pagan man. Pagan man is just as accountable as the moral man is before the Lord. Furthermore, the consciences of men, although imperfect due to man's depravity, nevertheless work to reveal basic right and wrong activities even to moral men. What will either accuse or excuse them in the final judgment when God judges the secrets of men's hearts? It's fascinating. You can go into any tribe, any tongue, any ethnic group, any racial group of people, and they all have a sense of right and wrong from their own conscience. Now, many times that conscience is distorted. In certain places in Africa, a woman practices birth control by taking, if she has a baby that's one too many, she takes it out and gives it to the hyenas. And the hyenas kill it and so forth. We would think that's horribly atrocious. And of course, they've stopped a lot of that practices in certain parts. But they still have senses of right and wrong. They know that murder itself essentially is wrong. They know that stealing itself is wrong. Certain tribes, if you steal and you don't get caught, you haven't done anything wrong. If you steal and get caught, that's terrible. But people in these other parts of the world, they do have a sense of right and wrong, and they violate that sense of right and wrong all the time. So there's a sense of sin. So God will be able to judge people, whether they're from pagan backgrounds or whether they're from moral backgrounds. He'll be able to judge them just on their consciences alone. Fascinating. So the lesson is, though moral people are more cultured and sophisticated in how they think and act, they cannot look down at pagan man and his flagrant idolatry without condemning themselves. For they also commit sins in turning from God and wrongdoing and wronging God and other people. If God judges according to the absolute standard of truth, both pagan and moral men must realize they are alike at the mercy of God, and they must repent. For God will show no favoritism in punishing men in the end. Also, moral man has a conscience, however imperfect due to his depravity, and it is still often clarifies what is right and wrong, but God will also use to judge people in the end. So in application, may we realize that the only difference between a pagan and a moral man is the issue of culture, not the issue of sin. Can I give you some illustrations? A pagan man steals, while a moral man misappropriates. A pagan man lies, while a moral man promotes a narrative. Okay? A pagan man slanders, while a moral man is journalistically biased. A pagan man robs the poor, while a moral man inflates the national debt, creating inflation that steals from everybody. A pagan falsely predicts the end of the world, while a moral man calls for the end of fossil fuel use due to an alleged world-ending climate change catastrophe. A pagan man commits adultery, while a moral man practices liberated love, and he waves the rainbow flag as a result. A pagan man commits murder, while a moral man gets an abortion. A pagan persecutes Christians, while a moral man tolerates all religions but Christianity due to the separation of church and state. So those are clarifications that show the difference between moral man and pagan man. Sin is sin. You might put a nice label on it, you might sophisticate it a little bit, might culture, but still sin in God's eyes. In fact, sometimes when a person proudly hides his sin and says, well, I haven't stolen, I've just misappropriated, I haven't committed murder, I've just committed abortion. That's something that actually infuriates God all the more, because it's an effort to cover up. It's an effort to sanctify something that is just as much sin as the pagan man. Sometimes I think the pagan man's going to get it easier, because at least he's direct. He's terribly honest about his sin. He may be flagrant about it, but he's not hiding anything. Where the moral man is trying to hide it. And so God will deal with it, and he'll deal with it in severe judgment. So if there's anyone here today who thinks that they're going to make it with God because they've been basically morally upright, they've never viewed themselves as pagan, my news for you today is that you are just as lost as a pagan man, and you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need salvation. I needed salvation. My parents were missionaries, but I needed salvation. I realized I was lost, that I was undone without the Lord Jesus Christ, and I came to the point in 1959 when I was 11 years of age, realizing that God wasn't going to take me to heaven just because Mom and Dad were missionaries. I had to believe in Jesus for myself. So I would urge everyone here this morning, if you haven't made the decision to believe in Christ, yes, you might have come from a cultured background, but sin is sin. And God wants you to come to know his Son, that you might be saved and have eternal life. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this the subject matter that we've covered here.